I just didn't want to leave it without some just additional clarity. Basically, what I was trying to establish was that both in the psukim and in the halacha, that the question of zera and yotze yera, and also the idea more specifically of banim and bnei banim, is a bit of a complicated issue, and that we find sources where bnei banim are automatic. Even without exeris akasu, when you need banim, bnei banim qualify, in other words. And we find makoros where you need exeris akasu, and where you do need exeris akasu, you can either say that it's just an exception, but there really is no din. We really paskin generally bnei banim, enim kibanim, or it could be that you just need exeris akasu to neutralize what would have been a reason not to say bnei banim, which is a more natural halakha, or that the Xeris HaKosov establishes, what kind of issue it really is. And I was trying to explain that there's a formal din of banim, and also there's a more personal and experiential din of banim. There's also, on the other side of it, just the impact that one has, or the remnants, or the influence of one's existence and relationships. So certain things depend on Yotze Yerach and Zera. Other things depend on a very specific concept of banim. And then there are things in between where there's a status, like a more formal expansion of some of these categories. That's really what I was trying to say. I was trying to establish that a little bit in the psukim and in the role of things. And then just in terms of the tchumim that I had mentioned, so we talked about truma, where it's an interesting issue, because the Gemara, in Ein Lo Ayin Alav, the Gemara actually uses bnei banim kibanim, thinks that it doesn't need exeris hakasuv, but the Rishonim qualify it and turn it into a zera halacha, except for some who suggest that when it says zera, then maybe there's a din of bnei banim kibanim. That's kind of what I'm looking for. Namely, if this is a wider kind of a din, then maybe the din of bnei banim is really a din of banim. That's what it sounds like in the Gemara, unlike the Tosis and Yivamos and maybe the Ramban here. That's a great example. Normally you would think that Truma doesn't depend on having banim. Truma depends on there being a remnant of your Ishus, which doesn't allow you to fully reintegrate into your father's home, or at least to do, to dispel the status of Binin Eishus Yisrael. So that's what I meant in terms of Truma, and there are other examples of that as well. Period of Arivia, of course, is an issue where that comes up. Does a person fulfill a period of Arivia, if there are no live children, but there are progeny? And, again, same kind of questions that we discussed yesterday, both in terms of kashrus and yichus, and in terms of the distance. So that's, again, a whole discussion in the Gemara in Yevamos and Tzavach Beis. And again, conceptually, it's a question of whether or not we're dealing with the impact that he leaves, or a certain quantity of impact, or again, more of a formal din of having, banim, in which case you need something like bnei banim kibanim. And that's a discussion in Sugya Yevamos. It's also an interesting point, because it might be that, we only allow for 1 second bnei banim kibanim when it's betoras bnei banim. And by that I mean, the Rambam's Psak in Chosishas Perek Tesvav Halacha Hey, that you need a ben from one child and a bas from another child, to qualify. It's not enough to have, just a, two grandchildren from the same child. So once you start saying that, it sounds like the din of bnei banim, instead of just being a standalone, is bnei banim but betoras bnei banim. These are your banim, but they're betoras bnei banim. Therefore, you might need a grandchild from two children as a din of bnei banim. Yeah.
In this instance, where your kid died.
Yeah.
So you retroactively lost your peru.
So whether there's a chiyuv, whether there's an additional chiyuv. That's the discussion in Yevamos. So again, without going into all the details of that, because it depends on how you understand that original obligation, you could have said it's all just remnant-oriented of a certain type. Like you've left your mark, there is continuity. But as I say, the fact that we're very specific and bnei banim b'toras bnei banim is surely a very interesting and important issue. So I mentioned Yerusha. No, not at all. And I think it depends on these machlokes very specifically. Again, just very quickly, I was talking about Yerusha. So again, the one that you have Sugin Balbasra Kuftesvav, and the need for Exeris HaKasav there, but and that's one of the sources, seemingly proves that B'nei Banim is not Kibanim. But again, it could be that that's a very unique case, because, you know, in both directions, because either we give it to the closest Karov, so it isn't a Dinim Banim at all, or it's always just a Dinim Banim, because it's Yerusha Bekeber, and it's Mishmash, as I said. They're direct Yorshim and indirect Yorshim. But the Gemara in Baal Basra, Kufnim Tess, which is what I was saying at the end, is just such a striking Gemara, because the Gemara there discusses what happens when you have a, you know, somebody sells off property, you know, that is not yet in his possession. You know, so if the son sells off his Yerusha, the Kaye Aviv, right, and then, you know, he dies first, so and then his father dies, so then the grandson ends up being the Yoresh. That's the case I was talking about in the end, and there was a little, some people asked me about it, so I just wanted to get back to it for a second. That's the case here. Ben Shemokha benifse aviv b'chayi aviv, umneis, b'no motzio miyad alakuchos. In other words, Bilokeach of the Ben says, well, it's finally time for me to collect. The grandson says, you know, you didn't buy it from me. Lokeach says, you know, I didn't buy it from you, but I bought it from your father, and you're Yoresh as your father's son. So the Gemara says, Zui shekasha b'dini mamanis. So the Gemara says, V'lei merlei avuch mazbin dat mapik. The Lokeach's going to say, like, what's going on here? You can't yarshin your father if he's the one who sold this to me. So the Gemara says, "My kushya, duma matzi amar mikoach abua da abba kasina." He's saying, "No, I'm not yarshining my father. I'm yarshining my grandfather," implying that there's a yerusha yeshira between a child and a grandchild. Heida d'chsiv is based on a pasuk, "Tachas abosecha yiabanecha." Right. So then the Gemara says, "Eli ikasha huk." That's a double pasuk. That's, I don't know. I don't think it's such a double pasuk, but Gemara says it's a double pasuk. So. But the Gemara goes further with it, very remarkable, and says, "Hakasha, you have a ben bechor shemachar chelik bechor b'chayi aviv." Right. So, you have this, you know, son who's a bechor. He sells off his bechora, then he dies before his son. So now his son, when the grandfather dies, is going to collect the chelik bechora of his father, and that's the tzafchan story. You can do that, bekever. Umeis b'chaye aviv, b'no, even then b'no motzi, even the chelik b'chorim b'chaye miyad alekuchos. V'zui shakasha b'dinei mamanis. Avuah mazmin iu mapik. Chitei machanami arma mikoach avuah da'aba kasina. I'm getting it from my grandpa, right? I mikoach avuah da'aba kasya b'chelik b'chorim ma'avinate. You're not, there's no such thing as a b'chor grandson. There's only a b'chor son. So the Gemara says, umay kusha d'ilin motzi amar. Mikoach avua da abba kasina ubemokom av kamina. So it's very poetic. Like, what does it mean? Like, how could it be? How could it be both? But it's a very powerful line. It's, again, this idea that sometimes, you know, in addition to not saying b'nei banim, you know, and discounting the, you know, personal aspect of it or the exclusivist aspect of it, you know, of father-son, but what it's saying more is kind of what I just said about period Rivia, which is it's b'nei banim kebanim in a way, but b'toras b'nei banim. It's sufficiently b'toras that, you know, that it's a way of yarshining, you know, your grandfather directly through your father, as both a ben and a ben haben at the same time. It's a very remarkable halacha. So the Gemara has this discussion also with regard to psule edus. Gemara Baal Basra, the Kuf Chav Ches, discusses, you know, whether or not a grandson, grandfather, you know, is treated as a regular a Rishon B'Shlishi relationship or not. So the Rashbam, and that's the Gemara Baal Basra Kuf Chav Ches, the Rashbam, and that Gemara says, no, that, you know, if it's a direct relationship, there's always a psuledus Ad kol adoros, which means not just, you know, b'nei banim, but b'nei, you know, assuming that they have to be alive at the same time, obviously. That that will be always be, and the Bali Tosa say, no, kim dis paligdara, we don't say, which is another way of saying the generation gap. So generally, these are really interesting questions, like how far do you push this idea, and, you know, when does the generation gap work? Even in Aegis itself, there's, and in some other contexts, there's interesting, you know, questions about whether you distinguish between a grandfather, let's say, take in a different case, not to be mitzdarif le'edus, but to be made on a... Is there a difference between a grandfather being made for a grandson for a grandfather for a grandson? In other words, normally, structurally, relationships are two-sided. But when is an element of family structure, you know, and generation gaps, sometimes, and it goes in either direction, but I'm not going to prove it right now, but these are some Sanhedrin issues, you know, pertaining to Psule Eidos. Not all relationships are reciprocal. And in the real world, that's true, meaning grandfatherly feelings for a grandchild, you know, might, in terms of this question, might be different than the other direction. And it might be more complicated than that. Right? In some things, maybe it's stronger in one direction, and in other issues, it's stronger in the opposite direction. So that, too, is an interesting question about B'nai Banim, you know, Kibanim. So this is also an issue in Talmud Torah, right? We know that this is a dish, Vishnanta Levanacha, is more intense when it comes to a child, right? And in terms of Schar Limud, you know, that's one of the Nafkaminas. There are probably other Nafkaminas, too. But there is a huge discussion in the poskim, based on the Lishonos of Rishonim, whether or not we're mechalek between Banim and B'nai Banim. And even if we are mechalek between Banim and B'nai Banim, which is likely, but the B'nai Banim have a yichus in this relationship that is different than, you know, B'nai, you know, Chavercha. Is there any element of B'nai Banim Kibanim? And how can it be both? Can it be that it's different than Ben, but it's still different than Ben Chavero? The answer is, again, if it's B'toras, you know, B'nai Banim, or especially B'toras B'nai Banim. So the Shach and Yor Deus in Reish Mim Hei discusses that. Yeah?
You talk about B'toras B'nai Banim or B'toras Godat and Levanacha B'nai Banacha are separate.
Could be either one. Either one. I'm saying these are two different ideas. Some do. Right, but that's not so clear that that is Mechaya view. There are different formulations. If you look at the Iri Elatar, and then the Shach and Simin, I think Reish Mem above, they have different formulations of it. Some of them speak about B'nai Banim, some of them speak about this is a Gzeres HaKos, special Gzeres HaKos of some of them. So it's a whole, it's a controversy, Lahalacha. I'm sorry, Reish Mem, hey. Whether or not, you know, this is a special status, and if so, why so? That's all I'm really trying to say. Zera Lamolech, we also discussed, it's also an issue. Kibud Av V'Em, clearly the dinim of Kibud Av V'Em are mostly connected to the experience and the, you know, Shlosha Shutfim and everything that goes along with all of that. The Marik in the famous Tshuva in Simin Lamed, he talks about whether or not a grandchild should say Kaddish for a grandfather or not, and he's very discouraging of it. Doesn't think that the chiyuv applies any more than any other person. And he argues because kibud av, it's a din in kibud av v'em, that's number one. And as kibud av v'em, there's no special din in grandparents. And the Rama is a tshuva in Simen Kuf Yud Ches, in which he is much more ambivalent about all this, and does think that there is a status, does think that there are elements of kibud av, also thinks that Kaddish sometimes is separate from kibud av. But again, just... Right, the basic idea is that not all tchumim necessarily are the same. And it could be that whenever there's a din of zera, there's also a din of b'nei banim in a different way, as we said. And it could be that even, you know, where there's b'nei banim, it's still a step removed. So I just wanted to mention these because I started with it and I don't think we're going to get back to it. But all this is a little bit connected to the very intriguing Gemara, as it's understood by different Rishonim, and Avdal and Omer Aleph. And then again, the parallel issue is, when is Zera automatically kosher or even pasul? When is Ach and Ben automatically kosher or pasul? The idea of the Ramban that, you know, brothers and sons actually, ironically, but understandably, are mikol makom, whereas Zera is dafka kosher. It's a looser connection. So you might have thought, well, looser connection, less demands. Or the other way, it's a looser connection, and therefore you need more, like, affinity. So that's the debate between the Ramban and the Rajba. And I think I mentioned Tosas on Samech of Avomideis when it comes to Chalal. So that's interesting, whether you're mechalik between the Chiyuv Yibum, the Petur Yibum, because the Gemara itself seems to say differently about Ach and Ben. Again, the Ramban assumes that what the Gemara says about Ach is also true by Ben, even though it doesn't sound that way. The Rajba assumes whatever is true by Ben is probably true by Ach in the other direction, even though it doesn't sound that way. Maybe the difference is Petur and Chiyuv Yibum, although that's like the question in its own right. Or maybe really it is a difference between Ach and Ben, in terms of the relationship itself. But there's a lot of intriguing material, that's all I wanted to say, in that topic, that we didn't get a chance to do at the time, but I wanted to integrate into the Monday share, so that there are just further things to think about, and there are further tchumim and many more individual makoros to consult as well. Okay, back to Amira, which is our main topic now. Last thing we discussed was the possibility of distinguishing between types of kiddushin, kesef, shtar, bia, with respect to whether you need amira, and the role that amira would play. So Ellie brought to my attention, where's Ellie? Is he here? Yeah, there he is. See, I did remember. What? Yeah, Nechba LaKalin, right. So Ellie brought to my attention that maybe you can make a diuk in the language of Gohed, of Rashi? In the Mishnah, in terms of the Lashon, how meduyak, we discussed, Itamar brought up the idea that maybe you don't need Amira and Bia, the Kiddushin Bia, correct? Biri in the beginning of the Masechta. And Ellie wants to say that maybe the requirement of diuk, right, in the Amira, right, is different between Kiddushei Bia and Kiddushei Kesef, and it might be for the same reason. Namely, Kiddushei Bia doesn't need to be transformed, right, into an Ishus, perhaps, the same way that Kesef does. Go ahead. Yeah. So why the change in Lashon? Again, could be just, a literary flourish. But is it possible that, that we wouldn't go so far as say you don't need Amira, but especially if there was some question of Birur, right? But maybe the role of Kiddushei Bia, again, it's already a derech and it's an automatic kiikach, in the physical action. So maybe that is number one a reason, to require a less explicit, some of the elements that you get from the amira. Moreover, in terms of the need to transform, maybe that's different. So that's what we were talking about the other day, in terms of hein hein ede yichud hein hein ede bia, the possibility that Kiddushei Bia has a different requirement of Ede Kiyum, whether maybe Edus Umdina or Miuchedes might work, that mostly the perspective of Tzorech Birur is what you need for Kiddushei Bia, not so much to transform it into a Maisa Kiddush, because it already is a Maisa Kiddush. So again, this is also a distinction that we made, maybe to the chiluk between kesef and shtar, that in addition to the point that the shtar has a ksav, maybe the role of amira and birur is different, because shtar is a more internal Isha's din, that's on the Haisab. Whereas Kesef is a import from Dine Mamadis. That's how I was trying to explain to Meiri, right, who thinks that, you know, there are two dinim of Asukim Boso Inyan, one for Shtar maybe and one for Kesef, which I think is a fascinating idea. So Eli also mentioned to me that maybe this is also the Riaz.
Yeah. The Riaz says that by Shtar you can get away saying
Harei Zeluk Dushayef and just give over the Shtar. Right, but not for the reasons of Tosus Rid,
right,
which is because it's Kosov.
Tosus Rid says because it's already written. The Ria says that because by Kesef, Bidurei Mikacha Aliyadei Kesef.
Yeah, so that language, again, may mean exactly what we're saying. That, you know, that in Kesef you need to transform this into a Kiddushin. Whereas in Shtar, you know, it's a Shtar Kiddushin. So Kesef is something which is, you know, a neutral factor. It doesn't, you know, obviously speak to any particular situation. It applies and really comes from the world of Kosher Mishpat. Shtar comes from the world of Eben Ezer. This Shtar comes from the world of Eben Ezer, and Shtar by its nature is more specific. So in addition to therefore not meeting the Biru or the Biru Mitocho, or being considered an Amira, or being considered Mesiras Sipur Hadvarim, all the distinctions that we have already talked about and seen, maybe the point is simply that that the need for Amira to play this transformative role is just not comparable when you compare Kesef and Shtar. Okay, but again, all these have to be weighed, I think, in light of the question of also the Yatzav Ha'is on the one end and Iska Shavayis La'adadi, both for Kiddushin Bia and Shtar on the other, you know, issues that we've talked about. Again, Psuvus Ayin Dalin Omen Aleph, right there, it can have a very limited meaning depending on how you understand it. There's shlichus for Kiddushe Bia because there's shlichus for everything else. But, you know, in a way, this is kind of the subtext in some of our V'yatzav Ha'isa discussions in both extremes, right? I'm going to say that what applies to Kiddushe Shtar because of V'yatzav Ha'isa also applies to Kiddushe Kesef or Bia, or say Kesef in terms of Tligiteh or Bechubar, or are you going to say the opposite, that even though, despite V'yatzav Ha'isa, Iska Shabayis Lahadadi, you know, with regard to Amira, with regard to Pligite, with regard to Torah's, you know, Kiddushin or Torah's Gerushin, etc. So, this is all part of a much bigger topic, and of course, Kiddusha B in particular, the Suinosa, functioning as Chuppah, the other Chilukin that we talked about as well. So, also, David, where's David? There he is. Oh, all the way in the back. Also was raising an interesting question, which I want to follow up on, but not at the moment. And that is, David, in terms of the Lashon, do you need a Lashon, and what is the Lashon of? Of Kiddushei Shtar al Yedei Shliach. So again, if everything is about Biror and Sipur Advarim, you know, or Ksivas, you know, Ksiva Kamira, right, David? So then it shouldn't matter. Right, we shouldn't care what the shliach says, or there shouldn't be a special din that the shliach, you know, can only formulate the kiddushin in a certain way. Right, as long as the biror part is clear, meaning that he's acting as a shliach. But if we think that, you know, kiddush shtar is different in terms of, you know, the derech hakiddushin and so on. Right, so this would be an interesting way to test it. So what's the evidence on that? I'm going to speak more about it later, but...
So it's done, like, you want to decide on the
Yeah.
And
Kesef, even though he omits it, right, in Gimel, what is it, base, right? So again, is that only because you want to make sure that she's not confused... You know, and knows that he's a shliach and not being makadish with somebody else's shtar, or is there more to it than that? And it gets as a parallel to that, although you might be mechalek. There's an interesting discussion on Daf Tes Amud Aleph, which we'll get to, and that is in the case of back to the father and the daughter. Again, we spent some time by discussing the relationship of father and daughter, that complex relationship in different tchumim, including, you know, kiddushin and nisuin. So when a father is going to marry off his minor daughter or nara, or there's a makilik between that, with kiddushei shtar, right, what does the shtar say and what is said at the time of the kiddushei shtar? Do you write in the shtar bitcha mekudeshes or biti mekudesha? What do you write? Right? Does he write bitcha mekudeshesli? Or does he write her name? Or does he say hare at mekudeshesli? So that too is a very interesting, that's what Bachlokas Rishonim. We're going to leave the details for Daf Tes. But that is a double issue again. On the one hand, it belongs on the list of, you know, Bal Korcha in Ishus, right? And, you know, where the Kesev goes, and, you know, all those issues that we discussed, namely the relationship of father and daughter. The more that we really think that the father is the Bailim, at least on the Maisa Kiddushin, right? So then maybe that should be reflected in the Nusach Hashtar. Or in the Amira, by the way. Like, what does he say? Bizman ho Amira, forget about Shtar, even in Kesef itself, in the case of Kiddushei Katana. If it's only a Kiddushei Katana issue, then, you know, you might not be Mechalek between Kesef and Shtar, but to what extent do you really need, if you think the Amira is an important component, not just a Birur of what's happening, so then, you know, is it Bitcha or Harayat or, you know, Plonis? You know, what exactly is it? If we're Mechalek between, you know, Shtar and Kesef, that would be particularly interesting in this situation. In either direction. Right. So the Rishonim really discuss and debate, you know, what the Nusach HaShtar is in that situation. So that would be, what about a Shliach? What about a father? These would all be issues that would be relevant to our discussion. Okay, so let's continue on and let's go through the Shaklev Tarya first, and then we'll, again, try not to spend too much time on it, but a little bit, certainly we have to. Let's pick up on Hayomid Base where we stopped. Akiva, you want to do the honors? Okay, Amar Shmuel, right?
Amar Shmuel, the Kedushin, the Nasim HaKesef, the Shalom HaKesef, the Amar Mah, Hariyam Gideshes, Hariyam Gideshes, Hariyam Gideshes.
Okay, so here we're getting into, you know, very specifically Shonos. We already talked about the order of Nasan and Amar, which seems to be the default in the Gemara, right? And even when we talk about Nasan Huvam Rahi, we're talking about that, and how the Rambam switched that around, so that's interesting. But here already we have some different Lashonos, Hariat Mekudeshes, Hariat Meureses, Hariat Li Leintu, right? It's Mekudeshes, go ahead. Okay. So here, what's the problem with Isheich, Baalech, and Aruseich? What's the problem with that? I mean, is it so obvious or not? If you were Masada Kiddushin at the wedding, and the guy said, Hareini Isheich, Hareini Aruseich, and you didn't know this Gemara, would it be so obvious to you that was not good? Ein kan beis meichosh. Sounds like nitpicking. Right? Is it inaccurate? What's inaccurate about it if it's inaccurate? Kiva? Oh, so this is a procedural, that's the talich of the Kiddushin, the procedure of the Kiddushin, right, is not being done in precise fashion. Right? The result, which is that he will be her husband, that he will be her arusa, her arus, sorry, that he will be her Baal, all that is true, right? So it's not a false description of the Ishus, but it is a false description of the Maisa Kiddushin. is the reason that we care so much in Ma'aseh and Kedushin because it sets a tone also in the relationship of the Ishus? Hard to know, right? Not necessarily. But this is a problem with Ki Yikach, and it's a Chiddush to say that even this, even though the Chalos is that he ends up being her husband, ends up being her Horus, that this is Ma'akev, Inkam Beis Mekush, that Ki Yikach below Ki Yakiach, I guess it is, right, is he can't make herself her husband, he has to make her his wife. He becomes her husband because she becomes his wife. Right? At least in the procedure, maybe even in the chalos, that's true, in which case it's a bigger problem. Meaning, it's true he's her husband, but he's only her husband because she's his wife. Right? He can't just make her his wife by making himself her husband. Right? That formulation is basically saying it isn't just procedural, right? It's also a little more fundamental. But what this is not, and we'll get to in just a minute, Akiva is a different kind of chisaro, namely, linguistically, come talk about.
That it's not Akiva.
What?
That it's not Akiva. It's not a chisaro.
You mean a Bira problem?
Right.
Okay, that for sure, that we'll get to in a second. I mean, what his intentions are very clear here. It's mechudash that he has to be so precise in his language, right, that even the nuance of how he becomes her husband or whether he can become her husband in a particular way matters. I mean, this is very, like, inspiring, you know. It's not nitpicking. It's like, amazing how the details are really important, correct? It's certainly not a din in what his general intentions are. That's clear. It's the precision of either the method or the content of what's happening. Okay. But it's also, the reason it's mechudash a little bit is because it's also, especially that added, that second perspective is a little more mechudash and getting closer to it. It's not a kind of linguistic imprecision of a different sort, namely. Say again? Well, no, it's, well, I mean, we'd already did Umrahi, so that's fine. Right, it doesn't imply that, you know, that she is taking action procedurally, that's true. But I also mean substantively, it's not like an inaccurate description of what Kiddushin is, or what Ishus is. As we'll soon see, there are Lashonos, which probably we understand what he means, but it's not a Alpidin, you know, proper definition of Ishus. We'll get to those in a second. Is it possible to be Mechalek when it comes to, I mean, anything about Lashonos that is not just about Birur, or that isn't like a role reversal, you know, kind of a chisarum, is already Mechudash and points to the importance or the role of Amira, I would think. But is it possible to be Mechalek, you know, within that, between two types of issues, one more procedural and the other more substantive? And there, maybe they're nafkamina, right? Things like asukim bosoinyan, etc. Something to think about. Okay, v'chein begerushin. Okay, so these are exceptional. These are acceptable, rather, lishonos. Any isheich. Okay, so this is a bit of a chiddush. Also, it's really totally parallel. Obviously, right? I mean, again, he's matir her in a get, and that's how she. It's true that he's no longer her husband. Again, is it purely procedural in the derech Hashiluchim, or is it also really substantive in a more subtle way? Namely, if you don't do the procedure properly, then it's not even true anymore. It's only true that he's not her husband because he was mater her and mishaleach her. Right? Again, same question. But it's a little more mechudash, as we've said, in that the role, let's say, of Amira in all of this. And even the level of diuk to create chalos ishus, one might have thought doesn't necessarily have to be reciprocated fully in the exit. And there's, you know, this is a general question about, you know, v'hayatza and v'haysa, right? Not only in shtar, but in general, as we've discussed, creating a v'chalos and undoing it are you know, identical, or all the work is in the creating and the unraveling, you know, is much, much easier. Or maybe the unraveling is more difficult because you're being matir neshasish. But the parallel here is, and certainly the role of Amira in the parallel, is fascinating because there's no hektish, there's no, you know, okay.
I thought it's not clear that this is talking about Amira in the second half of the...
I'm sorry?
About the case of Gershon.
You mean the Shtar, the Lashon of Shtar.
The Lashon of the Get.
So that's a question.
It says Omar.
The Gemara says Omar. Rambam dropped it.
Then there wouldn't be a parallel between...
100%. If you only have... I mean, the Rambam who dropped... But the Rambam dropped it for Shtar too. Right. So if you drop it... that doesn't help us so much unless you say Derech Kiddushe Shtar is different in this respect. If you say that you need... Like the Rishonim who say that you need Amira, let's say in Shtar Kiddushin, but you don't need an Amira in a Get, that would make me very happy.
Even if you think that it is Amira,
yeah.
Aren't they grounded in two separate theories of cousins? The Shilcha of Loshi Yishlach HaTatzma and Kikah.
No, well, the Shilcha teaches you...
So it wouldn't be based off a symmetry of Yishin and Gershin, which is based off two parallel
well,
theories of cousins.
It is really based on, I mean, aren't those two, this idea that you need that the Amira or the language would play, or the order, you know, would play a role in both, even though what is it that you're emphasizing might be based on the Gzeres HaKasav, is still parallel, I would think. In one case, you're taking the initiative and in creating, you're her husband because she's your wife, and they were also being told, didn't have to be that way, you know, because of the reasons that I spoke of before. But since it says Vishilcha, so the Gzeres HaKasav is telling you, and by the way, you only become her ex-husband because you also made her. You're no longer your wife. That didn't have to be that way. Maybe there's more than one way to become, you know, her ex-husband. So you do need Gzeres HaKasav, and we need to know what we need to emphasize, but I think the parallel is still there. Okay, let's continue. Amalahu, Rav Papa, Labaya. Yeah. So what's going on? Yeah, read the answer. Hacha b'mayaski. Okay, meaning that the Lashonis themselves... Okay, so now we have introduced for the first time the connection to Yadayim She'enan Mochichas, and the connection or the comparison to what we have in Nazir. So what do you make of that, Akiva? Obvious, not obvious, exciting?
Not so obvious.
Exactly. So the question really is, how do we understand the Yadayim She'enan on Mochichos? One way to look at the Yadayim She'enan Mochichos, as you said very, very well just now, is that it's a global din, meaning it's a language. It's like, you know, a universal, you know, threshold of, we'll call it legal language, or language in legal contexts, right? Where there needs to be a certain level of there needs to be a certain level of clarity, or there can't be a certain level of ambiguity, right? Now it's hard to believe, frankly, that Yadayim Sheina Mochichos are you know, very confusing. You know, that there isn't a strong umdana, you know, what people generally have in mind. Again, we talk about the Nazir case, but if the guy, you know, I guess there maybe it might be a little more, but certainly in the cases that we're talking about, the guy says Hareat Mukudeshes, but he doesn't say Li, right? Pretty sure, you know, that any betting man, you know, would mostly think that this is a proposal, you know, not some sort of a blessing, or shlichus, or I don't know what. So it's hard to say. In some of the cases of Adayim Shena Machichos, that what we're talking about is something which is really objectively in a mavur. But you could say that for legal language, or language in a legal context, especially where other people are affected, or whether there are Yisurei Torah, that there's a certain minimum proper threshold, and as long as there's a, I don't know, you know, some other way to read it, that's not what this legal language, you know, is saying. And if that's the case, then the application, you know, here is just an expression that legal language is required also in Ishus and maybe in other global contexts too. Right? However, if not, right, if that even that isn't true, and it isn't such a global din, and it isn't much of a safek, again, there has to be some level of ambiguity. Otherwise, it's not Yadayim Shein Mochichos, right? But if what we're really saying is, oh, there are contexts in which we require, right, more formal language. Now, again, what would be candidates, you know, for such a requirement or such a threshold? What do you think, Akiva? What? Aside from Kiddushin, which is being applied to it. Why Gerushin? I mean, Gerushin and Kiddushin, pretty much, I would think, just logically, we'll see whether they're treated the same or not. But, you know, they sound like they might be on the same level. If anything, I would have thought maybe Gerushin less. But, whatever. If I had said to you there's a discussion about the status of Yadayim She'ena Mochichos, right? And it's limited to certain halachos, where do you think it applies? Yeah. The first thing we would all think of would be whenever there's a din of hafla, whenever the amira or the language is not conveying but creating. When language plays a creative role, right? So then you might say that's not just legal language in the sense that there are legal consequences to what's happening here, right? For other people, you know, for Beis Din, like we need to know, therefore, you know, that's one level. But when we're talking about creative language, hafla, right, that already is a different story. So if I say, oh, in Nazirus and Nadarim, there's a discussion, yesh yad l'nadarim, ein yad l'nadarim, fine, we'll get to that in a second. Or just specifically what we're dealing with here. Yadayim, Shena Mochichos, maybe are not Yadayim. So that's very reasonable. But the application of that to Kiddushin and to Gittin, which are not Haflaos, is not obvious at all. And that's essentially articulated, it's implicit in a lot of people, and it's articulated by the Pnei Yeshua. Anybody have a language? I'll try, anybody was able to find it, to see it? Yeah? Pnei Yeshua says it, right? He says, I don't get it. What? It's on the board there already? Yakir? You step ahead of me? Did you find it, though? Who is?
Took over.
Oh, you took over. Whoa. Changing of the guard. Okay. So we, at least do we get a chance, an opportunity to thank you for your years of service? Okay. You have a lot to live up to. I'm sure you'll be able to, but okay. Thank you so much. Like, you know, you're taking it easier now, or the technology has changed. Or it's time for the next generation, you know, to... Anyways, anybody have language? Go ahead.
Shalom alei Rav Papa Rabbi, the name of the Sabah Shmuel, and I'm Rechichos v'chulei, v'kashali, Michael Sal Kadaite, the Rav Papa d'Shmuel, but the lo amar li Airi, Harav Papa Gufa, Iboi, le v'paragamat anadarim, Iyesh yad l'kidushin, v'kos v'shem atosvos, v'hadim esabkele, the Rav Papa, al-korcha, chani v'shem de amar, lo v'loshen hekdesh, Hariat Mikudeshis, Dami Lahakdesh, Vishad Lahakdesh. Maskin and Ami Hosam, the Hadder of Papa Hadda Mechlal, Javierta, Kami Boyle. Well, if he's a Korcha Shmuel with the Amar Lee, the Elo Tamahoki, I feel him Yisbar Shmuel, the Adam Shemokhikos, Havi Adain, Tenach Bamar, Hariat Mikudeshis, about the Hariat Mikudeshis, After the Masha Kosva Tosis Parakam with the Nadar, but the time of the Yeshua Kiddushin Mishum, the Asr Lakoy Amaka Hekdesh.
Well, we'll get to that, okay. No, I'm not, that's already on the other side of it. I'm interested in the line where he says, you know, what's this whole talk? You have that?
Yeah, we talk Masha Kosva Tosis Yashua Kosha Kheras, the Maimak Shara Papa Mikidushin on the Zeros.
Yeah.
The Omer Davka bin Zero Sever Shmoli Adam Shin Machichos Lavi Adam, Kidama Rav Hossam, Asberly Rav Idi Mishum Dechsib Kiafli, Ababa Kiddushin Olam Havu Yadayim.
Yeah, so that's his way of saying, right? What's Adayim Shen Mochikos got to do with anything? Again, if it's a global standard for legal language, right? So, fine. Or legal conveyances or communication, even better way to say it, then fine. And maybe that's what it is, right? But if it's more than that, if it's about not communication, but about language, so even in language itself, there are different places to draw the line. One is at Haflah, which as I said before is creative language. The other is, let's say you need, maybe it isn't creative language, but it is, you know, where language is a formal requirement. But there can be, let's say, three levels. Communication, unambiguous legal communication, we'll call it, right? Which maybe even could be substituted for by, you know, clear biror, or maybe does require some verbal, but it isn't the words itself, right? It's the you know, conveyance, the transmission of the ideas. Then there is formal legal requirement of an amira, for whatever reason. And then there is a creative amira, which either does everything, or at least is yotzer. One could have thought that the whole sugya of Adayim Shein Mochichos is only a question of haplot. That's what the Pnei Yeshua is reflecting. So what we have to figure out in terms of the Rishonim and so on is, so are we now saying that it's much more global? Right? And everything really is about, you know, the legality or the biror and so on, unambiguous biror in a legal context? Or are we saying that it's either close to haflah, or if not close to haflah, at least there's a required, ki yikach includes amira? So that's why the connection to the previous sugya of nasan huva amrahi, nasan hiva amarhu, namely amira, and the fact that this comes up in the context of our focus on precise language. Now, again, you could say that you just can't, you know, do things in the wrong order. You know, you have to be careful that the Maisa Kedushin is done properly. But, obviously, the nuances of these languages, you know, become much more important the more that you think that there really is an amira, that the amira is transforming and creating a chalos ishus. Yeah?
I was wondering, like, for some of the formulations that we saw, I guess, in the earlier part of the Amud, like the phantom closest that the Miri quotes, like the more you view that as like the relationship between regular unomenos and regular covers.
That's a very extreme view, though.
Right, so the more you think of that, like vis-a-vis the other types of amira as like a more central, more paradigmatic, would that, I guess, make you more likely to view here the amira, you know, in context of a flaw differently?
I think so. So this will take the Meirian specifically, I think is interesting about it. So let's talk about that. Let's just get that on the record, because you also mentioned the Pnei Yeshua part about the Hektish thing, right? So let's just get these all on the record so we can move more quickly. I still want to go through the Shaka Vitaria still and raise some other issues that we'll have to expand on a little bit. So it's already mentioned that the Gemara in the Darim, right, Akiva? You have it? And Vav Amud Beis has a discussion, has a safek. What's a safek there? And Vav Amud Beis and Darim. Well, the Yesh Yad LeKiddushin, right? So again, the whole here our Gemara is talking about Dadaim Shen Mochichas. There the Gemara is talking about whether Yesh Yad Lekidusha. Right? Opposite but very parallel discussions. Meaning here we're talking about whether or not we're going to be Machmir and say that if you don't say Arim Kadeshas Li, right, that's Yadayim Shein Mochichas. Okay. There they want to know, right, if you don't say every word that you're supposed to say, but there's a Yad, right, is that enough for Kiddushin? That's the question of a Kula. Correct, Akiva? Yeah, so read the Gemara very quickly. Baira Papa. Yeah, because he's, you know, he's machmir on the Pirkei Avos about, you know, ein leguf tov, you know, mishtika, you know, and ruach mamala. So he figures he won't say the at, you know, nami. See how much trouble he caused? Okay, so he says the at. So the question is whether or not we're mekel, and we say yeshad lekidushin, right? Go ahead. What does Chazoy mean?
Then you'll watch it.
The what?
Then you'll watch.
Okay. So how do the Rishonim understand this stuff? Like, again, this is in the other direction. But if you ask me, right, it's still connected. Right? The irony is, the more you think that Amira plays a formal role, right, the more machmir and more mekel you're going to be at the same time. Meaning, you're going to be more machmir for sure because, you know, it's not just going to be about birur. But you're also going to be more mekel, perhaps, right, if there are certain, like, formal mechanisms, you know, that qualify. If you say, oh, yesh yad, you know, you can do some shorthand. Maybe you can't do shorthand when you need, you know, clear communication. Then maybe you can do shorthand when you're using formal language, right? So even though we're talking about opposite issues, important to note that. That doesn't trouble me. It's something that we need to note, but it doesn't trouble me at all. And in a certain sense, some of the Rishonim highlight this. So what is the suffix? What is the nature of the suffix? What does the Ran say? Number one, afila biyad mochiach kami baile. Go ahead. Yeah, they're right in the darim. Even if it's a yad mochiach, this is fascinating. Meaning, it's already a yad mochiach, so we know what he means. But the question really is, it sounds like, you know, if we need dibor, then we need proper dibor, but maybe we should compare it to, you know, hafla cases where, you know, that ends up being a chumra but also a kula, right? So it's a very interesting. Keep going. Afilu biyad mochiach kami boile. Meaning this is a more universal din, perhaps. Or that Kiddushin is like Nadarim. Sounds like a more universal din at this part. Since it's Chomor, therefore we're Mekel? Yeah. Because it's all about creative language, and if this qualifies, it qualifies. Right? Mashain can be Kiddushin. Go ahead. So wouldn't that be a reason why, if it's Mochiach, we should care less? He says, Va'at, we know what he means. So it sounds like, well, it's not creative language, it's formal language, it's a formal requirement to accompany the Maisa, or maybe better yet, maybe in the case of the Darim, right, the Amira, is the Maisa. So if, you know, this skimpy kind of language, if yad works, so that's a hafla. Again, he has to have the intention, clearly, but that doesn't seem to be the issue here. But in the case of Kiddushin, the point is to integrate the Amira into the Nesina, or to transform the Nesina into a Baisa Kiddushin, right, to give it this transcendence through the Amira. So it's not an Amira of Hafla, it's not the Amira, it's the Amira, so you have the worst case scenario, right? The communication isn't enough, intent isn't enough, clear intent isn't enough, and you don't get the benefits of Hafla. What about the other Rishonim? What about Tosis? What do they say? Yeshav the Kiddushin. You have it? Tema Mechitesi Yad the Kiddushin. Alo Nadarim Lo Yadinan Yad Ella Midi Iskish Nadarim Lenazirus. Vim Kenarmin Echid the Gali Gali. Echid Lo Gali Lo Gali. It's a Kiddush. That this kind of creative language can work with a yad. Go ahead. The ode. Yeah. So this is good stuff. Yesh lomar. Ooh. Wow. Remember that? Now, is he saying this only... the Pnei Yeshua was saying, maybe it matters based on Tosas and Zayin Omen Aleph about Pashta, you know, Kiddush and Bekula, which we still have to talk more about. Maybe it depends on the Nusach that he uses. Right? That's what Pnei Yeshua was hinting at. Tosas doesn't mean that at all. And the Rosh, who also says this, doesn't say that. The Pashtas, it doesn't matter whether you say Harat Mu Reses, you know, Li, and then you say Ba'at, or you say Aret Mekudeshesli, the Pashtas. Meaning, Ishus is like Hekdesh. And therefore, even though you need a Xeris HaKasuv, a Ribui, for the Din of Yad, and it's a Hafla, kind of a Din, right? We're going to apply it to Kiddushin. Wow. Amazing. Right? Miokati Kasha, Dil'el. If it's going to be midin hekdesh, you're not going to be able to work with gittin. If it's midin, legal language, then maybe you would. Correct? If it's midin transforming a maisa into a chalos, then it's an open question because that depends whether gittin is also an opposite direction to tzirus chalos. Or it's the bitul achalos, right? So this whole discussion in Tosis is very, very appropriate. Keep going. So again, in light of everything we've just discussed, is this just meant to be pragmatic? I mean, that is its Amira, that is its Dibur? Or are we trying to say that since a get, there's only one way to do a get, right? So Amira, right, and even, you know, language doesn't play the role in Gittin that it will play in Kiddushin. Right? Go ahead. Right, it's not Yadayim, it's, you know, unambiguous legal language. Okay, Vim Tomar. Yeah. Okay, so I don't want to get too in involved in all this. And then, of course, the next one, he also has an interesting discussion. The Rush also. Meaning, the connection to Hekdesh, the fact that the Pashtus isn't limited to language of Kiddushin, The question whether or not this fits with Gittin or not, right? Again, the Rosh has the same broader idea. What do you have? Yesh Yad LeKiddushin, right? Mi Alfinim in the Nedarim Lashon Hekdesh, right? Shematfis Bidvarim and the Nedarim BeKiddushinami Lashon Hekdesh, right? Kulama KeHekdesh. So it's Yad KeNedarim Odilma Kiddushin and Nedarim Trei Milin Inu. And it's only in the Darim where we have the Limud. Okay. The Meiri seems to go further with this in the Darim and wonders, says maybe the Yesod HaSafek is whether we compare Kiddushin to Hekdesh or Kiddushin to Shar Kinyanim. Of course, there's an irony there because he's implying that Shar Kinyanim, right, would not work Al Yedei. Yeah, but Shar Kinyanim, do you need Amira or Lashon to begin with? So that's what I was saying, right, in answer to Avram's point. Is this Me'iri working with that other Me'iri in the name of the Chachmei Tzarfat? Like, even things like Nosan Huva Umrahi would apply to Shar Kinyanim? Or is it his way of saying this is just legal language, it applies everywhere, and, you know, and the question is only if it's Hafla type or Hekdesh type, that you can also use shortcuts or kulas, otherwise we're machmir.
Right, and Miri reads the sugya that they buy is even about Yad Mukhiya.
Yeah. Sorry? Yeah.
Even about Yad
Mukhiya. I think so. Again, it can't be so muchach that it's even considered legal language, but I think muchach enough in terms of an umdana that we understand what's being said.
So the Ryan is a chiddush, so he was talking about Yad Mukhiya.
Say again?
In the Ryan is a chiddush.
Yeah, I think so. I don't think it's so posh. I don't think everybody has to be saying that. So basically, again, just to get on the record, the language of the Marit. What's the language of the Marit? The Yavne Miluim also quotes it. We'll talk more about it. But again, bothered by this problem, but not so much in the Kula part, but the Chumra part. I didn't bring the Marit to get a chance, but Ubechuvosa bir yoser, avaloshin chikosva osam arabanim areini nosin lach zel kiddushin, emus shonos aloshin kiddushin. The kiddushin dumi the hekdeshu, sorech lachul al gufa isha, v'kol she'enu mekad shemamish v'omer la hareat lo have a kiddushin, kamo makdish behema v'omer harezu ola o truma. Right. Omer harezu truma. Shame hekdesh chal al gufa chefetz. Aval omer hareini borer ze leola. He's not pronouncing it ola. He's saying, I'm choosing this to be, you know, the ola. Ola truma lo chal kedusha la chefetz. Right? Dumi de tam betimur sof perakets and marimin. Omer ala behema tmei avel balmum hare elu ola lo amar klum. Hare elu leola. Right? Imachru v'yavu b'dmeyam ola. Alma shanila bain omer ola omer ule ola. He's suggesting that kiddushin, like hekdesh, requires that kind of hatfasas, you know, hadibor, a love. Very, very fascinating. Oh, I forgot to mention the Balamor, which isn't necessarily connected to Yadayim Shin Mochichos, but again, a strong statement about Amira. What's the Balamor in Gittin? Balamor in Gittin? Eitan? What? Oh, we have two Eitans? Eitan. Yeah. What? You didn't see it? Adam, you saw it?
Yeah. He asks why you need to say HaGittin in the case of Kinshti. Kinshti Shtarchov Zeh. Because we see in the Sefer of Yochanan ben Gugida that if you said to the Edim that this is a get, and you say to Kinshti Shtarchov, that's fine. So,
well, if Gittin works Bal Korcha, the Isha,
you don't need her das. So why do you need to say
HaGittin? So what does he say?
He says that the man needs to be motzi mipev, something that has to be yisponin either by the Isha or the Edim. Don't know what that means.
Right. Yesh lahashiv nehi de lo beinan daita Aval be'inan sheyotzi habal hashiluchim bepiv. It's not a question of das. It's a question of making this into a get, into geirushin. Right? Achar ksivas haget. Even though the get, right, already has a lashon, so in get it's even more mekudash. Giving it betoras geirushin, according to the Balamor, not everybody agrees, is a din in verbalizing. It's part of the requirement of not get. Some people say, oh, Nesina Bataris, it's part of the requirement, it sounds like, of Shiluchin, of Gerushin itself. She Yotzi Habal HaShiluchin Bepiv, Achar Ksiv HaSaget. Be'inyan She Yizbonein HaDavar, Ola Edem Ola Isha. Right, the audience is there to establish that this Shiluchin is verbalized. Not because it's some suffix or because you need das. The Kiman Shapira Shadavar La'edim ain't Tzarech Das Aisha, the Geirushin. But then what's Adam? Yeah. What else?
Kiddushin says both the Isha and the Eidim have to know.
Then he adds, V'chein B'Kiddushin. Remember, he's talking about Kinsi Shtarchol Beget. He didn't have to say a word about Kiddushin. Right, but he's trying to explain a phenomenon in Geirushin, which is does require clarity. Meaning, if you can be Mekadosh and Isha Bal Karcha, so what difference if I give her, I say Kinsi Shtarchov or not? Or I force it into her hands and it seems like, yeah, what difference does it make? So he's explaining it as a din, right? That Geirushin, Chalos Geirushin, Maisa Geirushin, not the get, not the Cheptishal get, right, the sinas haget requires Torah's gerush, requires verbalized shiluchin. So then he says, because if you're going to say that, right, it's not so far. The chen b'kiddushin tzarech sheyotzi b'piv hakiddushin b'inyan sheyizbonein le'edim uli isha, because you need nasa isha.
So I need also the edim.
What's that?
Why need also the edim hakiddushin?
I think because that's part of the yitziras hachalos of Isha's. Is that the Edom also have that?
And so by getting the Edom, the Edom aren't playing that role?
Sounds like, since it's, you know, Mepurish, that's just a din in the Shiluchim. Sounds like they're slightly different in the roles that they play. Unless you want to say the Edekiyim are different, but again, I think that for the Rambam. I don't necessarily think that for the Balamar. Yeah. K'darmin and Hassam, Gabi Kiddushin. One second, and he finishes. What's that?
You would think it would go the opposite.
Maybe. Because there's no Taurus Gerushin, you mean? Because there's no din of Taurus Gerushin necessarily in Kiddushin?
If the Eidim came are more central,
right?
Gerushin for the Rambam.
No.
Oh, no. I
think for Kiddushin, in Kiddushin. I think in Gerushin they're just there because of the consequences. But I'll get to that when we get to it. If it had been the opposite, then I would have thought the opposite. Right. But no, I think not. Kinarminan Hasam, Gabi Kiddushin, Ksiv Ki Yikach, Veloshi Yikach Es Atzmo, Gabi Gerushin, Ksiv Vishilcha, Veloshi Yishlach Es Atzmo. So what's so fascinating here is that he didn't have to talk about Kiddushin at all in that Sugya. And he could have said it's a special din in Taurus Gerushin. Is there even a din of Taurus Kiddushin? That's a little bit about what the Meiri was talking about. Right, in the Asukin in our previous Sugya a little bit. Right, not only does he equate them with the difference of Eidei Kiyum, 100%. In the case of Get, it's either the Isha or the Eidim. Right? But it's verbal Shiluchin as part of the Get process. And in Kiddushin, it's Kiyikach as a Din and Amira. It's not because, oh, it's a violation, it's a negative Kitikach. Right? It's a din and amira. And then to compare again, you know, his shiluchin and his kiikach. That's a fascinating balamor. So the birchash, just one more second. Birchash Shmuel was very big on this idea also of amira b'kiddushin. I think he has, again, I haven't seen it recently, but I recall from seeing it a while ago. Like, you know, many simanim about it. And I think he does also, I'll check again in the next couple of days, he connects it very strongly to the discussions of Yad and Yadayim Shein Mochichos, namely the idea that Amira is either a prerequisite of the Maisa Kiddushin, or at least the Chalosa Kiddushin. He's very big on this idea. As I recall, I think he tries to bring an interesting raya, questionable raya, from Rashi in on Hey Amad Aleph. Okay, the Shaka Vatari that we did read. Right? The Gemara wants to know, once you know that Shtar works for Kiddushin, so the Gemara says, why not say that Kesef also works for Gerushin? Ba'akashnami Yitzia Lahavaya, Ma'avaya B'Kesef, Af Yitzia B'Kesef? Says the Gemara, Amrabaya, Yomru, Kesef Machnis, Kesef Motzi, Senegar Yasa Kategar. Right? Meaning, can't do both, you know, like whose side is the Kesef on? You know, is it a romantic, you know, who believes in marriage, or you know, somebody who doesn't? Okay, not so terrible, according to my understanding of Rabbi Akiva and Beis Hillel, right? Where the Gerushin is like a Kiyum and the Ishus, but and still, it's obviously opposite sides, the Kiyum. So the Gemara says, Iachi Shtar Nami, Yomer Shtar Motzi, Shtar Machnis, Ktegar Yasa Senegar. Right? You could use a Shtar Kiddushin, Shtar Gerushin, to be able to use Kesef Kiddushin, Kesef Gerushin. So the Gemara says, Mili Dahai Shtar Lechud, Umili Dahai Shtar Lechud. So the Gemara says, Ochanami, Hai Kaspa Lechud, Vai Kaspa Lechud. So normally, the simple pshat is, it's not the same money, or even if it is the same money, it's not the same money at the same time. And, you know, what's the big deal? So the Gemara says, Tiva Miyachadahu, meaning Kesef is indistinguishable, because Tiva Miyachadahu, but a Shtar, it's Mefurash that this is a get and this is a Kiddush. Fine. So he just points out that Rashi, when he, in explaining the Havamino, when the Gemara says, like, what do you want? Hai Kaspa Lechud. So Rashi says, Kishuhu Nosno, right? Mefaresh Almanas Mahu Nosno. And then in the answer is, Chadu Eina Nizka Betocho Im Lahotzi Im Lahachas. So the Bircha Shmuel, who is enamored with this idea that Amira is somehow, again, not just communication or even legal language, you know, or being Machmir in legal language, for either for Birur or for formality, but is, you know, a part of the Ishus, and that the connection to Afla and Hekdesh and so on, that these are very serious matters. So he says, oh, that's what Rashi had in mind. Rashi thought that Kiddushin, Amira b'Kiddushin, right, is Hai Lechud Eikai, Hai Lechud b'Hai Lechud, meaning it's mitzaref, you know, it becomes part of the chalos of the nesin, it's nesinas hakesef b'amirasa, right? Just like ksivas hashtar. Wow. Now again, apparently, as I recall it, I'll check it again, but he likes it even though the maskara, we don't say that. Meaning he understands the maskara, it's like, well, he can't compare it to a shtar. Objectively, tiva miyachad, as opposed to being fully integrated, you know, what, a shtar kiddushin and a shtar gerushin, or ketegar, natha, senegar. Right? What makes a shtar is the message. And the message are opposite. Right? Masha'en came, you know, tiva miyachad, objectively, or intrinsically. So it's not integrated enough, it's not objective enough. But the yisod that, when you say harat mekudeshesli, when you give over the kesef, that the harat mekudeshesli is a chalos and sticks to the maisa, the sinas hakesef, no one ever was chozer on that. Right? You could have said that's goofy, what the Gemara says is wrong. Indeed, you didn't have to read the whole Gemara, even if you interpret like Rashi. Right? You're like, what's an Amira? Amira is just communication. Of course, you could have read the whole Gemara differently anyway. Depends how seriously you take the whole Kategar and Sanegar, you know, problem. How easy is it to dispel Snegar and Kategar? The Gemara, you know, it's It's not the same kesef at the same time. That's not snegar and kategar. Right? I'm just pointing out that he really believes it. Yeah.
In the Balaam Or, when he says v'chein l'inyan kiddushin, they need to be mifarish. Are we assuming that he's going even against the Maharit? Meaning, when he, what's he including under the idea of tzarich mifarish? Does that have to be like also on the guf hametzah or just some type of amira?
I don't think it's clear. I'm just saying minimally it's fascinating that he's making the equation to Torah's Gittin, that he's explaining both as a din and a mira, that he's equating Kiyikach and the Shiluchin. Whether he goes so far as to say that that's part of a chalos of, you know, just like in a korban, you know, saying Hareini Borer, you know, Behema, you know, Zu L'Shem Ola is different than saying, you know, Harehi Ola and pronouncing it, you know, Chalos Ola. You know, whether he's going as far as the Maharit, I don't know. But he's definitely taking very seriously. What?
Then the day Midaver Mel is going to be the Kiddushin, even according to the Balamor is going to be Kiddushin. The question is, does he have to say it functions as Namira, as a Tsar for Farish?
Right, I mean, he's going to have to say, you know, like we've talked about in the Miri and so on, that a Sukkin is enough of that. Not only a Sukkin, I mean, obviously a Sukkin. Like, if you really need, if you're going to take seriously the Hafla model, or the Hekdesh model, right, so is a Sukkin going to be enough? Right, that's what I mentioned, or Hain, or the, you know, the virtual ones. That's part of the question, obviously, that, you know, that we're troubled by. The answer might be yes. Similarly, on the level of umdina you have, mela asukin bosa inyan, at least you could say, oh, there's tzir. And especially if you had like the Miri we talked about the other day, namely in the sessions of asukin bosa inyan, according to the Miri, he has to be saying, not hareini yisheich, even then, that's a kiddush. Right? He's got to be saying, you know, harei et mukudeshesli. If he's saying hareini baleich, you know, or some other problematic lashon, maybe it's not good. It's not a good asukin. Fine. But what are you going to say for, like an umdana, like lana ima bepundiki? We talked about it a little bit today in a different context, right? He, you know, he's a law. He has her, you know, a law. The implication, especially in the case of, you know, in the context of being megarish her. You know, so he takes her back. So there's no Amira at all. All there is umdana. So is that Dafka? If you want to say it's, oh, Dafka should be, and it's like the Amiri who says there's no Amira, or that the Amira and Bia, like Eli was trying to say in Rashi, you know, is of a different quality than Kesef and Shtar. Fine. Otherwise, it sounds like an umdana de Muchach, even without any kind of dibur. So again, if all you need is birur, not birur for the purpose of communication or you know, confidence of what, you know, what intentions are, but you need a, you know, well, then you'll say something like we've said, hey, nene de yichud, that, you know, that is a birur.
Isn't the question of shot that if you require an amira, then letting go of pundiki is a chazaka that there was an amira?
I don't think so.
Have
I don't think so. But if it's L'Shem Kiddushin, I'm just saying people can feel emotionally that something is L'Shem Kiddushin without being halachic experts and knowing that that means that they must have done an Amira. I think that's very mechudash.
It's based on the presumption of Ein Adam Osa B'Lach
Sabir. I understand, but the presumption means he wants to do the right thing and therefore his kavana L'Shem Ishus. That can apply to any run-of-the-mill guy, but only somebody who, you know, came to our shir, you know, and you know, sat through the first part, you know, the remnant of, you know, Bnei Banim, you know, and now believes that Amira is like an important part of the, you know, Hagdara of Kiddushin. So is he the only person about whom we say, I'm joking, but I think it is like an accepted view. But that's, you're not going to say, and it must be also Bilas Nus or anybody else? I mean, I like the elitist notion that even umdanas are built for Tamei Chachamim.
Bad
I think it's a very ish halacha oriented idea.
So by that argument, you could have said that how many people are lamdanim to know the distinction between ishus and zanus?
Oh, come on. If you're a member of Klal Yisrael, I'm not saying bismaneinu, but if you're a member of Klal Yisrael and you grow up, not a tinuk shenishba, but the first thing they do is they teach you vayikra, because yavo taharim v'yilmedu taharos, then you know that. I mean, that those are different madregas. You wouldn't agree? You say no, it's all the same. I like that you think that. I think I'm not saying I should get the credit, but I think it's a great view. But I think that's very bechudah.
All you have to say is that anybody for whom we would apply the presumption of ain't the most that we lost of
the does everything right.
It's also someone who knows that it has to be a condition. Everyone knows that a condition is not.
But the truth is, I don't want to get into the details of that sugya. Now it's really a fascinating sugya. But what even on the kavanas ishus level. Right. I mean, this is a massive topic, not so much in the Rishonim, but in the later poskim, once, Klal Yisrael's, sojourn among the nations, really did dilute, the basic core presumptions that you can make. So, now the question of, civil marriages and unions and so on and so forth, how far do you go with how much does he even have to really understand what's unique about ishus? Never mind. Think if you ask, did you think that this was kiddushin? That may not be necessary according to some poskim. It just may be enough that in the back of his mind, he looks at her as his wife, and that we're kind of connecting the dots to say, oh, he's a mechaben, he would want to do this.
Yeah, but a few days ago, we were saying that. It's surprising that the Meiri would say that based on that Gemara Lani Mo Puntiki that you could dispense with Amira for Bia. We're surprised there's such a shita.
No, we're surprised there's such a shita. I just said that it's not.
Everybody has to read the Gemara that way. Everybody has to agree that there's no Amira for Lani Mo Puntiki.
Unless you think that Amira isn't necessarily Amira, but Amira means Birer. I wasn't so surprised. Number one, but what I'm saying is if Amira means Birur, if Amira means.
It's a Dabar Muskum. Everybody agrees that you could dispense. There are cases of Kedush without an Amira. It's not even a controversial piece, right? Because I'm a first Shukumar,
I think we just said that. That's what we're talking about. That's why we're talking about it. Right?
Everybody agrees that there's Kedush Bia without Amira.
Right, so either you have to say Bia Shiny, either you have to say one of three things. Bia Shiny, right? Or, which is not a bad thing to say about. Edikium issues and many other issues too.
So
Or you have to say that Amira doesn't mean Amira, even though the effect of Amira, meaning it's Birur Muchach, as opposed to just knowing what he means. Or you have to say there's no din of Amira, there's a din of intent. Those are the three things that you have to say, I mean, you're saying there's a fourth. Everybody's a Talmud Chacham and knows you need Amira, so there's an Amira there. I don't think it's a pashut. I'm not telling you that it can't be apeshot, but I think the typical understanding of inanamasa vilasa vilas nus, it does not rest on that level of specific knowledge, as far as I know. Okay. Okay. Good. So let's continue in the Lashonos of the Gemara. Yeah.
Do you think that's true that Amir is less necessary or whatever clopping different in Shtar and Bia? You do have the case of Siglonos where it would still be Kesed and we'd say perhaps that Amir would not be necessary. Meaning the contrast to your case of Lani Mo Mokamitsu. Siglonos is not about Shtar or Bia. And Amir, using Umdenas, we may say that you don't need an Amir.
Unless you say those are cases where there's not.
There
are discussions about that. We talked about Sabbath. So. The Tshuva of the Rashba that talks about Shiduchim, or it also talks about Sabbath. Right. Okay. No, we definitely know that there's a whole group of Rishonim that don't require Amira or anything beyond Birur. There's no question of that. what we're trying to show is that there is a group, whether it's the Balamor and Gittin, or some of the Kiyikach people, or some of the Yad Lekidushin people, or some of the Adayim Shein Mokichos, some Rishonim and some Poskim, who think that there really is a Din of Amira, and who are connecting it to either Hekdesh or Hafla, right? Again, for some of them it's a Din in Ede Kiyum, it's also important, or Tzorech Birur, or Birur Mukrach, but in Ochanami, they all have to deal with Asukin, and they all have to deal with Lanaima Bipundiki, and they may have to deal with some other Gemaras as well. And some Lotus is tricky, but okay. Either way, let's continue. Akiva? Oh, let's just get through the Gemara first. Okay, Tarabanan. We're not finished with this, because I still want to go through the Rishonim's, how we paskin and Daim Shein Mokichos, and how they describe the problem. If you hold a Daim Shein Mokichos, lo havi adayim, do they really think it's an Edekiyum problem, a Birur problem? Is it Chashash, Safek Kiddushin? We still have to go through that. But let's just get through the Shakram Tari first. Go ahead. Hare At. Go ahead. Okay. Okay. All these are obvious or not? Now we're no longer talking about him, how he becomes a husband, and how that, either in terms of the procedure of the kiddushin or in terms of the token of the kiddushin, right, is assessed. Now we're talking again different ways for him to describe his relationship with her, right? So, for example, in Hareat Ishti, well, that's Hareat Lila Intu, right? Arusasi, that's fine. Knuyali is interesting, right? Haisha Niknes, right? So that seems fine. Hare Atshali, Birshusi, Skukali, those are not as obvious, right? Osara Kulama Kahekdesh, she is Birshuso. I might have thought that Birshusi, for example, is a din, is a lashon of Nisuim, right? Knisa Lishuso, not necessarily of Kiddushin, right? As a Kukali, you know, is a Zika kind of a language, right? Is that appropriate for Erusin? The Gemara says unequivocally the answer is yes. I'm just pointing out there are things to, you know, to learn from or to, you know, raise eyebrows about at least. I'm guessing a little bit that Vilisninu Kula Khad, and the answer is Tana Tlas Tlas Shaminu Vigarsinu, is at least a way of saying that, you know, there are categories here. That this is, you know, Ishti, Arusasi, Knuyali, that's like very lechatchila ideal, that's a description of Kiddushin, right? And Skuka, you know, Shali, Birshusi, are good enough, but they're already a little bit edgy in terms of, you know, Nisuin versus Kiddushin, or result as opposed to, you know, the more direct, you know, process, etc. Keep going. Iboy Lehu. Okay, yeah. So then you're going to discuss each one separately. Right. Yeah. So, again, if you ask me, there are two ways to learn all these Gemaras. Right? One is that the question is in terms of Birur, and the possibility that they mean something else. And in some cases, that seems to be the reading either of the Gemara or some of the Rishonim. And then it gets back into, a little bit into the Adayim Shein, because it probably means this, you know, but it's not completely unequivocal. So, you know, maybe. Right. Or, is this on the side, not of Birur, and not Edis Miuch, not Edikiyum, right? But it's really on the side of a proper description of either the Ishus, right, or the Maisa Kiddushin. Right, Miuchedes, right? It is also Kul Alma Kehekdesh, right? But is that, you know, is Miuchedes the right way to say that? Miuedes, you know, is an interesting issue. right? There's a destiny element to it. There's also the language of yud, right? Is yud, maybe it's partly a yud question, which we've already talked about a little bit, right? Is yud in the context of ama ivriya regular ishus, or at least ishus laktana, or is yud a special ishus of abdus, right? And therefore saying miyuedes, remember the, again, the Rambam's line in Hilchos Malachim, where he compared Pilegesh and Miyueda and Yud, right? That, does that depend on the Rishonim here, where they talk about Bal Korcha of the Isha through Yud, right? So some of them say, oh, Yud, that's different chalos, or that's related to Abdus. It's an Isha of Abdus. Others say, no, it comes to the father originally. Again, maybe part of the discussion in the Gemara, whether most Rishonos like Kiddushin Nitnu. So I'm just saying, when the Gemara here says miyuedes, right, both in terms of what the word means in Lashon HaKodesh, and more specifically the connection to yud, it's an interesting issue, right? Ezrasi negdasi, right? I mean, first of all, you have to be, you know, ezer kenegdo. First of all, these are, you know, pre-Matan Torah Lashonos, right? Are they still around? I mean, the Smak probably thinks so, right? Because he was quoting that pasuk. I like it. But, you know, is it still appropriate? Secondly, you know, Ezer Kenegdo, you can then zero in on either Ezer or Negdo? Or is the whole charm in the Ezer Kenegdo, the balance, right? I mean, we say, you know, Zocha Ezer, Lo Zocha Kenegdo, so can you say Negdasi, which is a pure Lozacha case? Or maybe he needs a Negdasi. Or either way, you need Ezrasi and Negdasi. Again, we're not going to be able to speak so much about this, but these are fascinating questions about the real nature, either of the process, in these particular cases, of what Chalos Ishus really is. Right? What about Atsurasi? Atsurasi is quite fascinating. What does it mean, even? What does Rashi say? Baratsu Rasi? Kiva? Nesefes imi labayis. So first of all, again, Nesefes imi labayis is a, I mean, she's not living with him yet. Right? That's more of a Nesuin language than an Erisin language. Right? Rabosai Amru? Ki'isha Atsura Lanu. What's that all about? What is that, Ki'isha Atsura Lanu? Well, you'll see why. Because it, the Pasuk in Shmuel, well, Rashi doesn't like it. Why? Belo Nahira. Meaning what? What is it? Dachimele, right? Omar Lo. He was saying that we were Nizhar, so is that a good way to describe? So Rashi doesn't like it. Rashi says that's not a lashon of Ishus. Atsura mimenu means Asura, right? What does, so if you look, what does Tosa say? We'll get to the other Tosa that we skipped in this. Rabosai Mefarshim, Velo Nahira, right? Verimi Ashev, Kapir Shrabosav, go ahead. He just likes in general Lishna Dekra, and this is even though it's in Shmuel, okay, it's interesting. But he's saying it doesn't mean Atsurasi Asurali. It means, you know, the heter that we had, you know, is not a problem now. If you look at the Mefarshim, the Radak and others, they have different perushim. What do you think? Is Rashi's question so terrible? What would the Rambam say to Rashi's question?
The Rambam says Asurasi.
He says what?
Asurasi.
Asurasi.
He doesn't have Atsurasi, he just says Asurasi.
Okay, meaning?
Fitzwell.
What?
It's the Issus.
Yeah. So, in other words, if Kiddushin is an Oser, And it's not yet a full heter, right? But it's dafka, the step back before the two steps forward, or for the sake of the two steps forward, atzarasi isn't bad at all, right? Okay, what about salasi? So that refers to yitziras kava, right? And it definitely is something that might have been nesuin oriented, but on the other hand, it does, you know, touch on, as the Ramban and the Ravid, Ramban al Torah, the Ravid in Balei Nefesh, Hakdama that we talked about in the past, right? It touches on, right, a certain sense of destiny, right? In the Ishus, he says Talasi, right? Similarly, Skurasi is fascinating. You know, it's the aftermath. You know, it's both the independence and the dependence, Skurasi, right? Tachti. Okay, keep going. What about Tfusasi and Likuchasi? So the Gemara says, Pashut Miyachada. Go ahead. Yeah. So that, of course, is interesting, especially since, as we've said, Kicha Kicha isn't just a limud, but, you know, again, Ki Yikach Lo Ki Tikach Lo Ki Tilokach, the Lashon Kinyan, right, the centrality of Kesef. So Likuchasi is pretty good. What would have been bad about it? Because it sounds too financial or too monetary. But the point is, no. It's about what makes Kesef Kiddushin such a good Haisha Niknes, right? Okay. Iboilu, what about Charufasi? Yeah. So that, of course, is tricky. Yeah, go ahead. Right, the famous line in the Gemara. Go ahead. The Yehuda, the Od Lekra. And once you have the Kra, the Yehuda is superfluous. Right? Okay, so that the other Nihug apparently plays some role as well. And we'll have to see whether the Rishonim really pask in this way, what they say about Charufasi and what they say about these two factors. But you can also understand, again, we'll talk a little more about it, but there's a big issue here, right? Namely, what's the issue, Josh? Isha Charufa, both what the word means, and especially the context of... Yeah, and what might it refer... What does it refer to, possibly? What? Chatzi Shifra Chatzi Baskorin, who's connected to a Eved Ivri, there might be some sort of Ishus, which isn't the full Ishus. So, like Yiud, and like Pilegesh, that is a satellite Ishus, a Miktsas Ishus, and the question is it a proper enough paradigm, you know, for real Ishus? Now again, if all we care about in all these things is that there shouldn't be, you know, any kind of ambiguity, then we're going to take one perspective. But if we're searching for psukim, and we're also searching for precision, both in the process and in the substance of the description or the relationship, then all these issues become very meaningful. Okay. Now again, did they prove Amira? Not necessarily, because it could be... This is an interesting question. The more you believe that Amira, as opposed to communication or intent, you know, is a factor, the more, you know, we understand what's going on in these Gemaras. But, not to get too carried away, just like in our discussion of Nasanhu V'Amrahi, right? It's very possible that the problem here is, even if there's no din of Amira, right, you still can't have a corruption of the Ishus, because that undermines the Das as well. Just like Nasnahi might be a Pagam, it's possible that some of these Lashonos are not, you know, a proper Amira, but that isn't the issue. The issue is that they're a corruption of the Ishus. Okay? Yeah. Again, you could then say to me, well, what about you know, a sukkah bo'seinyan, and part of the issue is, indeed, what impact does a sukkah bo'seinyan have on yadayim sheinu mochichos? What impact does it have on these lashonos? Right? Just as we had, what impact does it have on nasan huva amrahi? And the answer is, in all cases, machlokas, and we're going to get to it. Similarly, we could go back to the question of lama lana ima bepundiki, namely, if you need these lashonos, and I even said before that inan mosa bilasa bilas nos might have certain kulas, maybe the person doesn't even really understand. That might be an avoidance of corruptions, but if you really need, you know, a proper perspective on what the ishus is as part of the das or the edikiyim and so on, then in achanami lana ima bepundiki, you have to assume like itamar that you have that, and that's a chiddush. Okay, let's continue. B'mayaskinan. Yep. So is he talking only about this particular case, or does this go on all these cases? Keep going. Ela b'madaber. Right. Take. Okay, so stop here for a moment. But of course, the question of how to read this Gemara is the Gemara literal in its understanding, namely, that it really holds that maybe this lashon, right, is not intended for kiddushin. In which case, of course, a sukkah bosa inyan, but then maybe you were chozer midatcha, is not going to work. It doesn't say any; it's not a limit in asukin, and it's not a particular kiddush one way or another. Maybe the only kiddush there would be is how remote a possibility that you were chozer and don't mean it, do we have to take into consideration? That's how much of a threshold of birur do we require that a person refers to kiddushin when there's an outside chance he might meet something else? That would be the chiddush. Aside from that, everything would fall into place. Or do we really mean here, it's clear what he means, but of course if it was 100% clear, then that would also be ki'ilu birer or ki'ilu amar. It isn't that. And the question is about how much amira do you need, or what do you need from the asukin, right, to qualify? Do you need siruf to birur, siruf to amira, or basically amira zero, as long as you have the threshold of birur? So these are the two ways to read this Gemara. Question is, when, what we say about the parallel cases? We already saw the debate about Amrahi. What about other Lashonos? What about when there's a get and it's written? And what about Yadayim Shein Mochichos? So we'll pick up with that and then the rest of the Shaka Vitaria and the rest of the Lashonim to try to finish this up if we can on Thursday. Right.